Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're going to continue today with our next part series with John Godola, former FBI agent. But first of all, we want to go right to Sid Roth, where he was interviewing John Paul Jackson, a prophet who is now with the Lord. And what he specifically said about Islam, about Muslims, would make an attempt on our president's life. We've been praying since 1991 this would not happen. But this was the prophetic word. Let's join him now.
What did you see about President Obama?
I saw that there was going to be an attempt upon his life.
By who?
I saw that it was going to be by the Islamic community, but make it look like it was racially motivated.
And of course, we should pray that this not happen. But if it happens, what would occur?
Then there would be incredible race riots in the streets like we've never seen before in this nation. And it would be worse than Rwanda.
Well, since 1991, we've been praying for quite some time right now, asking the Lord to prevent any kind of harm that would happen to our president, because we knew that John Paul Jackson prophesied about this. We've been praying, dear Lord, protect our president, save our president and his family. Well, John Godola, former FBI agent. As a matter of fact, I want you to take a look at this. This is going to be continuing with this series today. John Godola, he's one of the top terrorism experts in the United States. He created and implemented the FBI's first counterterrorism training and education program about the Muslim Brotherhood and their subversive movements throughout the United States. Well, I'm telling you, that we're going into our next part of that, understanding what's taking place in America, because based on Kamal Saleem with Qum Ministries, former jihadist, now he's a Christian, he said in 2010 over 450,000 radical jihadists that have come into our country. John Godola is talking about thousands have. Things are being set up. A storm is being fashioned against America, and John Godola is helping us understand this. Remember, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. We need to hear what God is saying to us as a country, to us as a people of the Lord. As a matter of fact, let's join John Godola right now as Jim Baker is asking these very important questions.
Is it affecting the ability to staff police departments around the country?
Absolutely, and this is getting to where we're headed with this conversation, is the merging of these socialist, Marxist, politically left organizations and the jihadi organizations. Because obviously, if you attack, and by the way, that comes right out of Rules for Radicals, Saul Alinsky, attacking the authority this way, law enforcement especially. But I want to map one more thing, or several things, but over what I just shared about the Islamic network here in the United States, is if you look at the major airports in the United States, the preponderance of the taxi drivers are Muslim. And most people have experienced this. And what you're seeing is taxi drivers who are Ethiopian Christian, Coptic Christian, and others are being harassed to the point of being threatened until they just quit. And then the person who replaces them is a Muslim.
Wow.
You see, that's how that works. Baggage handlers at airport. Just how about Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix, Arizona? I shared this story with some of your staff. For American Airlines, the guy who's the lead trainer for the baggage handlers at Sky Harbor Airport is a Hamas leader. And just last fall, they gave him a big award. And I've challenged them, and they are defending him. American Airlines is defending him. His name's Mohammed El Sharkway. He was the leader of the Council on American Islamic Relations, which is Hamas, in Arizona. And he is now the lead trainer for baggage handlers at Sky Harbor Airport in Phoenix. That's a security threat.
Yeah.
And just like in Belgium, we knew these guys were there. We didn't do anything. Why? Because it's easier to hug them and tell them how great they are than to treat them like the terrorists they are, like the jihadis they are. He's a terrorist. And if the police aren't going to do anything and the American Airlines, here's something. How about just get 100 people outside American Airlines headquarters, have a press conference, and start stirring this up? You don't think they'd want to make that go away quickly?
Oh, yeah.
The people have got to get involved, and there are many, many legal ways to do this.
Yeah.
Wow, that is...
Let me finish this thought because I want to finish it. So that's taxi drivers. Look at shuttle drivers at airports.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, they're preparing the battlefield. That's what they're doing. Their own document says the people they have inside the government who are either senior, in advisory positions or in other positions, their purpose right now, when they win, because they think they're going to win, these people will be, they're the shadow government. They're the people who will be in leadership positions. But right now their purpose is to influence our policy, our actions, both foreign policy, domestic counterterrorism strategy, and to gather intelligence, because they're preparing the battlefield as they build more mosques, right? What is a mosque? Well, who's the greatest example of a man according to Islam? Muhammad. What did he use a mosque for? Because what he says a mosque is what a mosque is. Well, he used a mosque to teach the Islamic community about Islam, to have social functions. They had, you know, food and beverages there. They had weapons and ammunition there. Jihadis slept there. Jihadis trained there. They planned battles there, and it's the place from which they launch battles. That's what a mosque is. This is the kind of guy I am. I believe you take the enemy at their word.
Yeah.
I believe if I'm at an ATM, 10 o'clock at night, and a guy comes up to me and stands behind me and says, I have a gun in my pocket, give me your money, you know, or I'll shoot you. Well, I don't say, well, I don't think he doesn't mean that. I don't say, well, I don't think he's really got a gun. I don't say, well, if he has a gun, maybe it's rusted. I will turn around and act as if everything he's saying is true, and I'm going to take it at face value. And I'm going to respond accordingly. And it's not going to end well for him. And it shouldn't end well for these jihadis.
But you have FBI background. I don't think we could take them out.
Sure you can. Every American has the right to bear arms. And by the way, let's just...
We do? You mean that's still...
And by the way...
That's still...
Yeah, we do. And it's not, by the way, it's not because the Bill of Rights says so. I think it was put best in Heller versus the United States, and the judge ruled, you know, the right to keep and bear arms long predates the establishment of this country. And the reason is our founders understood God gave you your life, therefore you don't have a right to protect it. You have a duty to protect it and the lives of your wife and family. I mean, this is where that comes from. But you take all that out, and then we forget. We were talking last night, I don't want to, you know, go too tangential, but I have had Christians tell me, well, you know, in the garden, Jesus told Peter, sheathe your sword, you know, those who live by the sword die by the sword. Well, he did, that's true. But that was not a condemnation of the sword. Do you think Jesus was so oblivious he didn't know his disciples were carrying swords?
Right.
And that the first time he realized it was when Peter drew his? And was Jesus an idiot? I don't think so.
No.
The reality is that we as Christians have an obligation. Christianity is the foundation of the government and the rule of law here.
Mm-hmm.
That's the
right.
Truth. And that's not an opinion. We have rulings. We have statements from the Supreme Court and by the U.S. Congress that say that. And it's very clear from the founders. And so I think... courage. I would just ask, where did all the men go?
Yeah.
And where have all the courageous Christian men gone? Mm-hmm. I certainly don't see them on many of the pulpits in America. And you can, whatever denomination, and if that offends you, too bad. Mm-hmm. We're way past being worried about being offended.
Can you give me an estimate of how many of the Muslim Brotherhood are operating inside of our government?
I don't think I can give you a number, but I can say this. You're not going to find somebody working inside the Pentagon, the White House, the State Department, the CIA, FBI, DHS, in an advisory role or in a position that's not aligned with their ideology. Or in the case of the senior Islamic advisors, all of them are Muslim Brotherhood leaders. We can identify them by name.
Wow.
So that's the problem.
Either Muslim Brotherhood or sympathizers, or is that,
right.
Am I saying that?
Right, yes. So they're
so
either Muslim.
We've been infiltrated.
Oh, sure. Who do you think?
No, I know
who do you think's writing your foreign policy?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's when you understand how could we respond to the Muslim world the way we are not just under this administration, right? This war was going on for several years prior to this administration, because those people were in there. They were in there during the Clinton administration, just not to the level that they're in now.
Mm-hmm.
It's much worse today.
Mm-hmm.
So they're absolutely serving a purpose, and they're doing that purpose.
Yes, absolutely. And to your question about zero hour. So zero
That's
hour,
a good question. I want to know that.
So that's the term that they use for when it goes hot, meaning when the jihad goes violent, offensive jihadi operations. So the first place to start with this understanding of zero hour, we see it in their five-phase plan. So I mentioned earlier a six-phase plan. That's the larger Islamic movement. The Muslim Brotherhood has a five-phase plan of how to overthrow a government. So the larger six-phase plan is the Islamic movement's phased plan to literally come in, and it's their global battle plan. The Muslim Brotherhood's five-phase plan was found in a document entitled the World Underground Movement Plan, and I do have that on my website, again, understandingthethreat.com, under the resources. And that was found in a search in Annandale, Virginia, about 10 minutes outside of Washington, D.C. in 2004 at the home of a senior Hamas Muslim Brotherhood leader during an FBI raid. And we found the archives of the Muslim Brotherhood in North America there.
Ooh.
So let me just kind of recap that. The archives of the Muslim Brotherhood in North America were discovered about 10 to 12 minutes outside of the nation's capital in the home of a senior Hamas leader's home, a guy named Ismail El-Barassi, who's now on the lam outside of the United States. So this document, the World Underground Movement Plan, lists the five phases, and the fourth phase specifically says, in preparation for zero hour, training on weapons domestically and overseas in preparation of or in anticipation of zero hour. And zero hour is when they get the call. Now, we actually have intercepts from a Muslims of America, which is also called Jamaat al-Fukra, jihadi training camp in Virginia. And there are a number of them around the country where one of the guys in the camp actually asks about zero hour. So the idea, this isn't just some phrase that we made up. This is their understanding. And the understanding is that when that call goes out, that's when they organize and actually launch the jihad. So for them, this is a go order. This is what we call the Marine Corps. You get your operations order, you get your mission taskings, and then you get green lighted. When it, you know, is it a time? You know, at this hour we step off into the mission. That's what this is, and I'll tell you, for people who are military and look at the presentations that Understanding the Threat does, they all come to the conclusion, you look at the strategic plan, you look at the implementation manual, and you look at the five-phase plan. I mean, it's just like a concept of the operations and operation order, and it's phenomenal. They're very well organized, well-funded, and in my opinion, well-led. I think it's a worthy adversary. The reason that they're doing so well is they've literally been not only unimpeded by us, our government's helping them.
Right, exactly.
Because we see them as, I mean, this administration has openly said the Muslim Brotherhood is a partner in what they're doing. And yet the Muslim Brotherhood's own bylaws and doctrine says it exists to bring about the Islamic State under Sharia.
Mm-hmm.
And their explanatory memorandum says that what they're doing in North America is waging civilization jihad in order to sabotage our Western powers from within. That's what they're doing. So that's what zero hour is, and that's the implication on the broader movement.
And the zero hour is unfolding. It's coming. You see it actively being in place. Of course.
Do you see a timeline?
Well, there's two things. They do work on somewhat of a timeline, but the Brotherhood and the Islamic movement works more on a series of milestones. In other words, when they get to this point, then they can start working on the next thing, and when they get to the kind of finality of that, they get to the next. But they're in a point right now where if you look at Al-Qaeda's timeline that they have that was published in Der Spiegel by a guy who was al-Qaeda. If you look at those phases from 2000 to today, mm-hmm. when they're going to establish the caliphate is exactly when the caliphate was established. When they were going to launch the revolution in Egypt, exactly in the timeline. 2016 to 2020 are the years that they say they go hot in Europe and in the
world. 0 hour. Now you think about that. 9/11, what happened? Ground zero is what you hear. It makes you wonder who even established the name of that ground zero, 0 hour. Talking about 2016, no matter whether it's 2016 or a future year, seeds are being planted all over our country to be able to fulfill something like that. One example of that is in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, where Don and I were in Murfreesboro watching. There was a dispute going on in the community because they wanted to build a 12,000 square foot mosque there for, just like he's talking about, for community, for education in Islam, these different things that we're hearing, swim pool, and those type of things, which is great. You have to understand, if it's just your belief system, that your faith, that's one thing. But Islam is a merger between religion and politics. It's governmental. Sharia law is, in the eyes of somebody who's loyal to the Quran, is above the Constitution in their mind. Well, that doesn't work. That's why when people become a citizen of America, they have to renounce all potentates, all loyalties, and submission to anybody outside of our country, including religious potentates, it talks about. We're listening to John Guandola as he's talking to Jim Baker, explaining and breaking down in details the wisdom that he has gained over the years as a former FBI agent, one that has trained FBI in counterintelligence, and he was one of the first. And this guy needs to be on Homeland Security. We need this guy. But the problem is, based on what he's saying, we have more advisors that are part of the Muslim Brotherhood that are advising, and we don't even have John Guandola that's right there advising what's taking place. It's like, what's going on? You think about this. You think about a blinded mind. This is important to understand, because sometimes you can just start yelling at things at your TV or saying, what's your problem? But people, if their mind's blind, they can't see what you're saying. This is what Paul says. Paul writes, and he's writing, I believe, the Church of Corinth. But he's saying their minds are blinded by the god of this world. So if you take a blind man and you try to tell him, look at this, he's not going to be able to look at it because he's blind. But if your mind is blind, a logical explanation of the crazy things going on, it doesn't make sense to them because they cannot see what you're saying. And there's a ton of blind minds right now that are operating in America all over the place. And it reminds me of Gideon, when Gideon was called by God to be able to deliver a nation. The Midianites were there, and all of a sudden, God just had them turn in on themselves. Their minds became so blinded. They were scared of one man, Gideon, that he was going to, God just put fear in their hearts, and they began to destroy each other. If you're God's folks, I mean, you don't have to worry about that. If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life and you're walking in an abiding relationship with him, we're going to talk about that more in our fifth part of this program, which is very important. But understand, we are in the climax of a lot of these crescendos taking place. I mean, our law enforcement is like a target. We're going to be talking about, when we get back from this particular segment, how even Hillary Clinton, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, her last thesis, her paper when she graduated, the title of her paper was "There's Only the Fight." There's only the fight. That was the very name of it. And it says, "There's only the fight," an analysis of an Alinsky model. I mean, this is what so many people have been working on for so long. This thing didn't just happen. And how we're about to hear how John Guandola talks about specifically how the sheriffs in each county in America and the pastors are some of the most important folks. The Lord told me this. I was in a meeting with our community, our particular community, and the Lord just downloaded instantly in my spirit that the sheriff is one of the most important people in your county. Because it's them, the next person up in authority, is constitutional authority in your state, is your governor. So they can stand up and they can either say, you know what, if this is what the federal government wants to violate our constitutional rights, we got to let them do it. Or they can stand up and say, you can't come into this county. They have that kind of constitutional authority. And so there's a very important, Rick Joyner talked about it as well, about having, build a relationship with your sheriff. It matters who your sheriff is. You know, if they don't have a fear of God and don't love the folks, It makes a huge, huge deal ordeal when it comes time to what's about to happen on the face of this earth. And we need sheriffs that will stand up because they care about the people. They have a fear of God in their heart, and they will stand up for the constitutional rights of the citizens. And this is a local battle. As a matter of fact, I want to join John Guandola now as he talks about how local this battle is. Just watch.
So if you look at that and you look at the Muslim Brotherhood's timeline, which is more based not on a calendar but on a series of events, those events have all pretty much been met. So now you have that, and then you have the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the point I was getting with all the stuff that you're talking about, this culmination of various threats. But if you look at the Muslim Brotherhood and what they say about working with the socialist Marxist revolutionary groups like Black Lives Matter, mm-hmm. you have the leader of Hamas doing business as the Council on American Islamic Relations, Nihad Awad, in December of 2015, just a few months ago, at a Muslim Brotherhood conference hosted by the Muslim American Society and the Islamic Circle of North America, saying Black Lives Matter is our matter. And then you have Khalila Sabra, who works for the Muslim American Society, Muslim Brotherhood. She says, we had a revolution in the Middle East, and we should have a revolution here in America, the same kind of revolution. Well, what's she calling for? She's calling for a violent revolution, and she also has been accredited by DHS and DOJ to be on their oversight boards for immigration policy. And she's calling for open, violent revolution against the United States. They're not hiding this, folks. And she is saying she's calling for that same thing in those words. It is astounding to hear that and to see that the clip of that. And so that's what this phase is. They say 2016 is the year. And they say it at that same conference. This is the year for Muslims to step out and be leaders, to step out and grab hold. And since it lined, this is just me. And I'm not the smartest guy in the room, but, you know, I am trainable and I can read and I can listen. And I've studied this enemy's doctrine and I know how they operate, I think at least to some degree. They say this is their year. It matches up with Al-Qaeda's timeline. It matches up through the milestones with the Muslim Brotherhood's timeline, and we see all these things in place. And it's an election year.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it seems to me that, again, we haven't done this since 9/11, but we should take the enemy at their word.
Right.
They say they're going to have a revolution like we are still watching in the Middle East and other parts of the world. We should take them at their word of that they're going to do it here. And that's coming. I think we're no longer years away. We're now months away. I think in the next certainly 12 to 16 months, that's a reality.
So what do we do?
This begins at the local level. This is going to be a county-by-county fight. Mm. So sheriffs and pastors become two of the most important people groups.
Wow.
Sheriffs because they're the most powerful law enforcement officers in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors because if they would actually speak the truth about this, more than just a handful of them,
right,
and got people energized, then the people could put pressure on local elected officials to allow law enforcement to be very aggressive in taking care of the issue at the local level in whatever means they need to. The question is, do we want to win or not win? And the problem is most Americans, when you ask that question, they would ask, win what? What's at stake here?
Mm-hmm.
They don't even realize
don't
we're
idea.
At war.
No.
You said it. We're at war. We're at war in Europe. We're at war in the United States. The West is at war. Once again, this is not new with Islam, right? 782, Charles Martel defeats the Muslims, very famous battles. You can go to the Battle of Lepanto, the gates of Vienna. Our own founding fathers, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, who speak about this threat, that it is the Muslims themselves whose book, the Quran, says, you know, it is the duty of the Muslim to wage war against the non-Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
You look at quotes from John Quincy Adams, St. Thomas Aquinas, Winston Churchill, Theodore Roosevelt on this issue. It's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
We in history have never had a problem understanding that Islam and the West are completely in opposition ideologically and practically.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that we have American leaders saying that the Constitution and Sharia can exist together is not only factually not true, you have to ask, you are either as dumb as a cinder block or there's a nefarious means to what you're saying.
Right.
I mean, at some point, we have to make that understanding.
But the church is afraid. They're desperately afraid.
Well, then the church lacks belief, because if you believe as Jesus and Lord and Savior, you don't have fear.
Right.
What do you think about our Iran deal? Was that a good deal?
That would be an unequivocal no. not a good deal.
Yeah.
Iran is the largest funder of jihad on the planet. And they've been very clear about who they are and what they're seeking. I would say they're the most dangerous threat we have.
They haven't put Israel's name on two missiles they tested. Death to Israel.
I saw those reports.
Now, if the United States had done something like that, all hell would break loose. But they do it, and we didn't even...
So you draw a picture of Muhammad, and all hell breaks loose.
Mm.
You don't need to explode a bomb. Just draw a picture. People get killed. You know, my question is, what about the individuals who self-identify themselves as Muslims? Don't they have rights as Americans? This is a serious question. I'm not talking about people that are Sharia compliant and want to force you to be Sharia compliant through all means necessary, including violence. But I will tell you, I worked with Muslims who were, some of them were college students, some of them were adults. And because the government leaders were working with only men who are known Muslim brothers, the Muslims in the community saw that. And so they didn't trust the government either. Who are they going to go to? You think they're going to come to the FBI and be sources for the FBI? Put their name in our database, knowing people working on the fourth floor who are translators or jihadis? So what about them? I think by not addressing this issue, individuals who may self-identify as Muslims but don't want to deal with this, don't want to live under Sharia, they grew up this way, whatever, we're doing as much damage to them as we are to innocent Americans who are non-Muslim. Because there are people who truly want to live this out. It's like I teach law enforcement. When you see a woman in a full burqa, that doesn't necessarily mean she is Sharia compliant, but it definitely means her husband is. You see the difference?
Yeah.
It may mean she is, and she may very well be. But this idea of liberty versus security is a key one, but I think we're not doing ourselves any good by denying a real threat. There is no legal roadblock to identifying or speaking about a faith, a religion, none whatsoever. And so you can talk about it. We've done it in American history. It's been done legally. This is, maybe to sum it up, at first grade textbooks and at the highest levels of Islamic jurisprudence, Islam defines itself as a complete way of life. Social, cultural, military, political, and religious, all governed by Sharia law. 100% of all published Sharia law, 100%, mandates, obliges jihad until the entire world is under Islamic law. And 100% of published Islamic law only defines jihad as warfare against non-Muslims. Those are facts that cannot be contravened, period. The fact that 15 years after 9/11, we are still debating in the non-Muslim world, especially at the Pentagon and FBI and CIA, what the definition of jihad is. And we have leaders telling us that there's a debate in the Muslim world about what jihad is. No, there's not. In the Muslim world, there's not a debate. And if you'll notice, all the quote-unquote moderate Muslims in America, and by the way, they're all in America or Canada, if you haven't noticed, because the ones in Europe are now leaving for fear of being killed. You notice all these groups, the Quranis or the Ahmadiyyas or these other groups of Muslims that stray from what Sharia teaches? You're not seeing them living in Egypt, Syria, Libya, or parts of Africa. They're living in Canada, the United States, because they're being killed everywhere else, because even they know this is what Sharia teaches. But the moderate Muslims, in fact,
have no following in the Islamic community to speak of, and they have no authority in the Muslim community. So I think when it comes to security, what do we do? When you don't admit that Islam is the problem, then we spend billions of dollars on equipment at airports that, as the inspector generals have shown and their reports have shown, 95% of tested contraband gets through TSA screening. But if you look for Muslims between the age of 18 and 40 who fit a certain profile, you'll catch them. Do you think that the Israelis use the equipment we use? No, they do not. Because they actually look people and they look at them and they know what to look for. And we could do that too. We could train people to do that. It's not that hard. You actually have to start. Unlike the New York Times article a couple days ago, we began this conversation with that, which says, the government is stumped on what all these attacks have in common because the people are so different. What they have in common is 100% of them are Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
That's the enemy says it. Our doctrine says we should start there. If we start there, then these questions you're asking about our security, they get answered. No, I don't think that we should change our understanding of our founding ideal in the Declaration or the rule of law based on a different threat. We should address the threat. We should destroy the threat so we can go on living free. That's my answer.
This is so important. I mean, think about it. You know, all Muslims are not terrorists. But what they have in common, all the terrorists that have done these things are Muslim. And so we have to focus and understand. Glenn Book wrote a book. It's called It Is About Islam. It is about Islam. And it breaks down exactly what we talked about in an earlier program, what John Gondola's talking about in regards to the Muslim Brotherhood plan. And you think about, why do we need to talk about that? Because God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Mm-hmm. When you should not mix a false religion with Christianity. They're you know, you're hearing things like Chrislam that we've talked about. You're hearing things like it's the same God, and you know, just let somebody have their beliefs. And everybody should be able to have their belief. But if your belief is a political system, if it's a governmental system, if it sees itself like Sharia over the U.S. Constitution, then that doesn't work. John Gondola just said that they're the opposites, that the U.S. freedom and Constitution is on one end of that spectrum. The other end is Sharia, which is totally, you know, a dictator, political, religious, political system that's going there. You think about one thing he says also is that right now the attention is being given towards Muslim nations that aren't Muslim enough, like King Jordan, for example, King of Jordan and King Abdullah and other nations like that. But they're fixing to turn, based on what John Gondola is talking about, all that energy and all that attention to America. But they've been building a strategic plan, and they fulfilled every single step, all five steps he's talking about. That they found these papers in Maryland, which we talked about in an earlier program.
And in Dale, Virginia.
Yeah, in Virginia, I mean. And it's like, why isn't anybody's eyes open? Why aren't we saying, why isn't the Pentagon open to the fact? Why is the, according to Congressman Michelle Bachmann, all the FBI records, all the CIA records, anything to do with investigating law enforcement, that she said they removed any mention whatsoever as Islam being mentioned in any of these records, jihad being an issue, an enemy of America, people that are radical jihadist terrorists. She said they removed every one of them. And then the assistant for our former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, her mama and her daddy, think about this. Her dad was a senior leader in the Muslim Brotherhood. Her mother was a senior leader too. He's passed now, I believe. Her name was Uma. And she wasn't even vetted. That means they didn't research that out, and it's just like we're kind of just walking right into this mm-hmm. huge storm. And this is what God says. God's word says very specifically, and you can see it. We'll make sure it's available to you in this program on the VFN Torch, is that he's fashioning a storm. A storm is being fashioned. There's a sword coming, and I will put my prophets out before you, and they'll prophesy, and they'll tell you this storm is being fashioned against you. But if you'll turn, and if you'll repent, if you'll turn your heart back to me, then I'll forgive your sin. I'll heal your land. I'll stop the storm. If not, he said the storm will just basically take you over. I mean, we're seeing it on every side. For some reason, people always go, well, that's somebody else. as somebody else's son. And as Christians, we should be compassionate about every human being on the face of the earth. We should be concerned about anybody that's suffering some sort of evil coming over, and it's happening all across the globe right now. Think about all these things that we've been talking about over the last four programs, and we're going to have one more program talking about a prophetic dream that God gave about how, specifically, despite how it looks like the enemy's coming in, that he will part the enemy for you. He'll you won't have to worry about him. God takes care of those that are his. But, you know, one thing he talked about is about fear. You know, Jim Baker's talking with John Guandolo, and he says, you know, what about pastors that are afraid? This is so important because, you know, as a leader of God's people, as a shepherd, if you would, that's looking over God's flock, that fear is the worst thing that you can have. You shouldn't be fearful you're going to lose your job. If you're fearful you're going to lose your job, you're a hireling. You're not a pastor in regards to they've hired you. That's great. It's good you take, but you need to stand up for them. You know, Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust. He will not forget the love you have shown him as you help his people and how you continue to help him. Loving God is taking care of his people. But if you're the shepherd, if you're upright and you're looking around, the sheep are looking down, they need you to be bold and strong, and you got to make a commitment. This is one thing that they found out statistically, that maybe only 3% of a congregation are the ones to give a pastor a hard time, but the other 97% do not even come up and say, listen, we're standing with you. So they end up listening to the 3%, the squeaky wheel, and they end up saying, well, we can't talk about this, we can't talk about that. Listen, you're going to have to talk about it. This is what's going on. And God's people, it's our faith and it's our confidence. And if we don't know, if you haven't taught us how things are, we will begin to believe a lie. And how can you know a lie if you don't know the truth? Mm-hmm. And God's word is the truth. And so we are not supposed to be a people that fear. We have nothing to fear in regards to, remember, if all we have is this life, Paul said, if that's all we had, we should be pitied more than anybody else. But we have eternity, true eternity. Through Jesus Christ, we're saved through him. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. It's in this life we're standing for him, not hiding out, but standing for him. And you think about, why in the world would our leaders partner with any militant group like this, you know, radical jihadist terrorists? Or they're not necessarily partnering with them, I'm just saying, in regards to just opening the gateway to, you know, Muslim Brotherhood being on the advisory committees and not doing it. This is, if you think about it, when we studied and talked about, and you can find this program, Organizers of the Day versus Organizers of the Night, that you're looking at Saul Alinsky's tactics. Because one of the tactics, what number is it?
It's number 8. It's keep the pressure on, never lead up, never let up.
It's the pressure. You're looking at constant pressure. It's never stopped. It's been a brilliant execution of Saul Alinsky's tactics since our current president's been in, and it's been relentless. And this is not, it's a whole group of folks, but if anybody's going to be congratulated on applying very well the Saul Alinsky model, it would be our current leadership team, because they're keeping that constant pressure and people are arguing about this or that. And all of a sudden they shift to something else.
Change the topic.
And they change the topic. And it's not about that. They're changing the narrative over and over again. But the specific thing that you're seeing, because we can beat This jihadist push coming against the world, but we're choosing for some reason not to right now. But the sustained militant effort is creating fear in people's hearts. It's creating people to come together who wouldn't come together originally to be able to organize. He said, this is what Marshall Gantz said as he'd be in an interview by Bill Moore. He said, you first have to polarize before you organize. Right now what's happening is, and polarization is division. You're seeing everything divided that can be divided. I mean, Hillary Clinton's own paperwork, her last thesis, the title of it is There's Only the Fight, an analysis of the Alinsky model. That book in the front cover is dedicated to Lucifer, who did this thing. In the back cover has Chicago Sun-Times, I believe it is, talking about Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama before he was president. It's being used before us, but God is greater than that. We're called to be under the Organizer of the Day. I want to encourage you right now, if you had not yet made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the light of your life, now's the time, because he says gross darkness will cover the earth, thick darkness will cover the people. But understand, he says, you're children of the light. The kings will come to your light. This is what we're called to be. And I just want to pray for you right now and just
ask you to just be encouraged and say, you know what? You know, this is a great day of harvest because many of these folks that are held captive by darkness, God has sent me to set them free. And the gospel and the power of the kingdom will set them free. Father God, we love you. We thank you, Jesus, for everything that you've done. We thank you, Lord, that you died for our sins, that you have given, all authority has been given to you in heaven and earth, and you've given it to us in your name. We can drive out this demonic force in your name. We can cast out demons in your name, lay hands on the sick and they can recover. There's power in your kingdom, Father God. And I pray right now for each and every one of your family, Father God, that they would just rise up and the spirit of fear would be broken off. And this confidence would come in, Lord God, and you would raise up godly sheriffs across this land who fear you, who love you, and who love the people of this nation, Father God, and pastors who are bold in their faith and proclamation and love and passion for your kingdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. We'll be right back.